work session on Senate Bill 5541 for the Oregon Department of Revenue, and go ahead and receive the recommendations of legislative fiscal office.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and members of the subcommittee. I've passed out both the memo and then a lengthy spreadsheet for you, about 10 pages long, double-sided. What I'd like to do in the interest of time is to key off the governor's recommended budget, because you've heard about that up to this point. We talked about the various adjustments to the 97-99 legislatively adopted budget.
That's the bottom of page one.
Correct, Mr. Chair. And those adjustments working up to the governor's recommended budget. And this is the, these numbers represent the governor's original budget, not the revised after the March forecast. And I'll get into that a little bit later. And then I'll, on the back page of page one, I'll be working off of that box there, but referencing other pages in the report that we'll use that as kind of our master roadmap. So again, the governor's original budget includes $104,222,779 in general fund, $12,882,062 in other funds. It has non-limited funds, other funds of $186,544 for the multi-state tax commission, for a total of $117,291,385. 1,035 positions, 914.21 full-time equivalents. And the first adjustment that you'll see there where it says reduce attorney general fees, that has to do with two things that are making up the amount that you see here. First of all, there was the adjustment that the Public Safety Subcommittee made in reducing the hourly fees of the attorney general staff from $92 to $90. So that makes up about $55,798 in general fund and the $870 in other funds that you see there. The remaining $500,000 has to do with a reduction in the Attorney General line item in two divisions. And if you turn... back of page 5, and then the back of page 6. On the back of page 5, in that general fund column, you'll see reduced attorney general fee $330,392. And the $30,392 has to do with reduction in the rate. $300,000 has to do with the department's reforecasted need for attorney general services. And then on page 6, on the back of page 6, again in the general fund column, that third line down, it says reduce attorney general fees, $17,091 has to do with the reduction in the rate, $200,000 has to do with the reforecasted need by the department. So that's those are the factors going into that reduction.
Sure. How realistic can we ask the agency, how realistic is this reduction of attorney general fees? Is this based on that rate, little rate reduction in charges? That's not. It's the amount of fees. Is there some reason why we're going to do much less work with the attorney general?
Mr. Chair, Senator Crow, we had, if you recall back in the 95 session, the legislature moved property tax, actually appeals, from the Department of Revenue Appeals Division and created the magistrate section of the Oregon Tax Court. At that time, there was projections on, obviously, prior to that time, if we had a large corporation case that was being held by a hearing officer in the department, we did not have an attorney represent the auditor in that at that point, only later when we got to court. On the same hand, if we had a large industrial appraisal case before the department, we would not have an attorney present. When we went to the magistrate system, we felt in large industrial cases and in large corporate cases before the magistrate, we had to be represented. And so as part of that process, the legislature gave us a significant increase in our attorney general costs. So far, our experience has been we've settled more of those cases. We haven't been litigating as many as we thought. And so when the governor came and asked us for some adjustments to rebalance the budget after the March forecast, we projected and we said we could give up $500,000 in Attorney General cost at that time. So we're very confident.
Not be hurt, you think?
Yeah. Okay. We're very confident.
The next line item says transfer ERA funds at the Elderly Rental Assistance Program. And if you turn to page 9, that's the spreadsheet for that program. And in the governor's budget, there in the original budget, there is a reduction of $624,701 as a result of resale cost of need and based on eligible individuals. So that in the governor's recommended budget, the amount of general fund for that program is $9,750,000. What I'm recommending here is that you reduce the budget by $750,000 and set up a special appropriation in the emergency fund for the department in the amount of $750,000, simply because it's difficult to predict with 100% accuracy the actual need for the general fund amount. After July 2000, the agency could come back to the emergency board. They would have then have paid the first year's cost into this program. They would be about 3 months away from paying the second year's costs, so they should have a very good idea of what the second year's cost would be, and then that funding could be released to them. So again, while it reduces their budget on paper, it's set up as a special purpose appropriation in the emergency board. Wouldn't be used for anything else by the emergency board. I'm sorry, set up in the emergency fund. It wouldn't be used for any service by the emergency board. If they didn't use it, it would simply revert to the general fund after the end of the interim. And then if we go back to the back of page 1 again, the next two line items have to do with the taxpayer education assistance and compliance package that's in the governor's original budget. And what I'm recommending there is that three support positions be eliminated. And one of those, let's see. One would come out of, two would come out of the personal tax and compliance division. And those are the two administrative specialists. And then the other one comes out of, the business division. And basically, the reason why I'm recommending those eliminations is that I looked at the ratio of support positions to other workers, and I believe that by eliminating these support positions, it's more in line with the ratios that they have now, and so I believe that they can get by without those. And sharing my recommendations earlier with the department, they believe that they also can get by without those positions.
Sure.
Yeah, Senator Kozak, you know, at least the two administrative positions in the tax compliance, so that's the money-raising part of the thing, and administrative specialists must make it easy for other workers to do their jobs, and since that makes us money rather than losing us money, does it make sense to cut those out of there?
Mr. Chair, Senator Cho, we're confident that we can still make the goal for the revenue produced without those positions.
These are probably some of those positions that will move up towards filling the additional positions that we have. Is that correct, Jim?
It's definitely a possibility. Sure.
They don't see any hurt from losing these positions.
Mr. Chair, Senator Shaw, the way we've calculated the impact and our ability to raise the additional revenue from this budget, we didn't attribute any direct revenue to these positions. Certainly, over a long period of time, they will would help the productivity of that staff. But in terms of the package, we didn't attribute any direct revenue collection, and so we're committed we can still raise the amount of money with the adjustments that staff's proposing.
I presume that the new staff we're hiring is not the same as the staff we're letting go. Because aren't we hiring new staff in the compliance program to raise more money? Yes. Okay. And then we're letting people go from that same department.
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, these are positions that are part of the 41 in the governor's budget were added in the compliance package. And what staff is recommending is rather than add 41.
These aren't positions now held or proposed positions.
Okay, did you say that?
If you did, I just did. I'm sorry. I thought they were existing. Okay, got it.
Anyway, just to summarize those two line items, it would reduce the general fund budget by $45,007 and eliminating the one-office specialist one, and then reduce the general fund by $143,176 and eliminating the two administrative specialists. There would be a small reduction in other funds expenditure limitation as well. And again, it would eliminate those three proposed positions that we have filled and are generating revenue. The next line item is has to do with the telefile, which is that system, if I understand it correctly. It's for taxpayers who have very simple tax returns to file, and they can simply pick up a touchtone telephone and file by pressing the buttons on their phone. I believe, you have to have a very simple tax return to file, possibly a standard deduction, nothing more. And I'm recommending deferral of that, as well as deferral of package 330, which is the package in the information processing division. And the reason why I'm recommending deferral is that I would like the department to come back with a plan that explains how the new technology, the new and improved technology that would be accomplished both through the telefile system and then adding additional staff would impact staffing needs in other areas, particularly in those areas where manual processes are used. What I've recommended for the subcommittee to consider is that you, again, set up a special appropriation in the emergency fund for the department so that those funds are protected, but it would require them to come back and report to the emergency board and then have the funds released to them.
How is the other state telefile doing? Are they considered good other states?
As I understand it, Senator Lynn, there are about 24 other states that use the telefile system. It's relatively new.
Okay.
And in fact, I'd like to defer to Jim to discuss that in more detail if you're interested.
You want to make sure in the electronic filing or things like that, sometimes we don't want to be the leader.
Mm-hmm.
Then other people make all the mistakes and we can commit later.
I don't think in this case under the limit that Oregon would be the leader. We're out in the middle of a pack.
Sure. Just wondering if the department's comfortable with that. Does that create additional roadblocks, or is it something that makes sense?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, I think it makes sense. I think that, in my view, staff is correct that this is a subject that probably deserves a significant amount of analysis and conversation, and I would be very comfortable going and having that conversation with emergency.
And the next item is to eliminate package 320, and that is the package in the administrative services section, and this would have purchased a personnel officer and a half full-time equivalent management analyst. And again, I talked with the agency, asked if it would impact their plans for generating revenue. They said it would have no direct impact, but in the long term, it could be a concern. And given that there are general fund concerns and the constraints in the general fund, I eliminated that package. And the department can't always come back to the emergency fund if it becomes critical that they have these two positions, particularly the personnel officer, which they were hoping to use to hire the information systems specialist that they plan to in one of the other packages. And the next item is eliminating vacant positions. There are four positions, 2.29 full-time equivalents, that haven't been filled for over a year, and the department is comfortable that they don't need that position or the related funding, so that would save $95,242 general fund and $126,825 other funds by eliminating those positions.
Mr. Chair, Senator, has the money from those positions been used to hire the part-time people that you have during crunch times, or what have you done with that particular money for those vacant positions?
Senator True, to respond to your question, I have to divide it probably between the other fund and the general fund portion of things. One of the positions is an additional appraiser we got to deal with the strategic investment program, I believe in the 95 session. They attached a $50,000 fee to those companies that were applying, and that money was supposed to be divided between economic development and revenue department to cover this position. Since that time, we have never received any money. And so we've had a position with no funding for two biennial now, and so we're very comfortable that that one go away. In terms of the one general fund position in there, I think that we will, it's sort of hard, I don't know that we would directly look at that position and say we use the money from that position to do something else over here, but it's, we're certainly doing everything we can to get our work done, and we may very well likely utilize that money to fund some other effort within the department that might be shortfall.
Get by without the position and the money?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, I think given the overall context of the budget and given the situation that we're having, I feel very comfortable.
And then finally, the last item there in that box shows the addition of the package that's in the governor's revised budget. Now, this is the package that would add a net approximately $4 million other funds for this investment of $1,183,245 general fund and $89,470 other funds and 13 positions and 12 full-time equivalents. And what I'm recommending with that package is that those positions be made limited duration, and next session when the department comes back, it can report on the actual revenues that those additional positions have been generated, and the legislature can decide whether or not to continue them as permanent positions. So that,
Yes, does that make any difference to you and who you can hire if they're limited duration or permanent positions?
Mr. Chair, Senator Trill, I had this conversation with your staff before. We're comfortable that we'll be able to hire. Typically what we do with our auditors is hire them in a class. We may have 8 vacancies, and we may hire 12 auditors and double fill 4 positions. Coming through training, and then we'll have attrition of about 1 auditor every couple of months leaving. And so at some point, we'll be back down to 8 vacancies again. So the way we utilize our positions, we're very comfortable. If you have a trained auditor and they're in a limited duration position and for some horrible reason we're not able to produce the revenue that I committed to, then what we would do at the end of the biennium is probably double fill that trained auditor into another position and not hire from outside at that point. So I think it will work very well for us. The exciting part about it for me is it gives us an opportunity to come back to you and tell you how we did on the package, because we'll get to report back. And I can't wait to do that.
And I think it was contemplated, too, that we would probably do that in the interim before the e-board, so that so that what could happen is that at midterm, sometime in the interim, the E-Board could receive that report, and that the E-Board is satisfied that those number of duration positions are really producing for the state. And at that point, we wouldn't have a question as to how limited the duration of the position may be. The E-Board could exercise its authority to go ahead and extend it. Senator Lemon.
Thank you. Look like a good program, adding a new position for additional revenue for $4 million. But when 2 years come, after 2 years come back, how do I know that this new position and had an impact $4 million? If there might be just general increase of the revenue, how do we make sure this is the, for that portion increase?
Mr. Chair, Senator Lim, what we have done in the past when we've been asked, given some of the responsibilities and asked to report back, is that we have specifically identified each individual that's gone into each of these positions, and then we have a system that tracks every if they're an auditor, every audit they close, how much was involved in that audit, at what point it gets paid. If they're a revenue agent, we collect, we track every money, every dime they collect in delinquent taxes. So we'll be able to report back to you in very detailed terms exactly how those positions were able to produce the revenue that we've committed to.
The general fund then in the box shows $101,775,659. Other funds, $12,556,710. Non-limited funds, $186,544. Total funds, $114,518,913. 1,025 positions and 905.42 full-time equivalents. And then, Mr. Chair, I did not put in an additional package that would generate another $2.2 million in general fund, although I would recommend it. If you were to do that, it would add another $519,309 general fund and $29,470 other funds. And six positions and six full-time equivalents. And the total then would be, total funds, would be $115,067,692. And 1,031 positions and 911.42 full-time equivalents. And if you look at this amount in comparison to the 97-99 legislatively approved budget, without the special purpose appropriations for the emergency fund, it would be a 4.2% increase. If you add in the special purpose appropriations, assuming that the department will come to the emergency board and will get them, it would be a 6.8% increase over the 97-99 legislatively approved budget and over 97-99 estimated expenditure. Now, one thing I haven't covered yet is in the Senior Citizens Property Tax Deferral Program, the governor's budget includes a transfer of $12 million from the reserves in that program. The department estimates that it needs a balance at its lowest point during the biennium of about $10 million. They believe this to be a prudent reserve. And based upon updated information since the preparation of the governor's budget, it looks like there's an additional $5 million that may be transferred from that reserve without harming the program and still leaving a low ending balance of $10 million. So that would bring that transfer up to a total of $17 million. This is assuming that House Bill 2901 doesn't pass. And again, that's the legislation that would open up eligibility to low-income disabled persons. And if it does pass, the available reserve could decrease dramatically. The Legislative Revenue Office estimates that increased participation in the program will draw down the account by approximately $6 million in 1999-01. The department estimates that the impact could be as high as $8.8 million in 1999-01. So in either case, the program most likely would need an infusion of general funds should House Bill 2901 be enacted. Up to this point, or at least for a long period of time, it's been my understanding that the program has been self-sufficient, and so the infusion of general fund would be something new to it.
Sure. Could we ask, what's the prospect of House Bill 2901? Do you know where it is? What's happening to it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Troy, as I understand it, it was passed out of the House Revenue Committee
okay. To
the full House floor, and I don't believe it has been voted on the floor yet. I know
it's on its way to the floor. So it could pass.
And it does have a referral to Ways and Means.
It has a referral to Ways and Means after the floor.
I believe so.
Before it goes to
the floor. Excuse me. I'm thinking of the right one. That may be the one that does not have the referral.
That's 2126, I'm sorry.
2901. I believe it does not have a referral yet.
Why would it have a referral? Clearly it's going to have a cost of...
Well, it has to have an appropriation.
Yeah, just have to appropriate the money so it's available to be used. Okay.
Do you want to go?
I have the fiscal impact. So.
Okay.
Senator Crowe, there is a fiscal impact estimated by the department at $390,000. Okay. $390,937.
That's to administer the
seven positions, 3.8 to FTE.
Okay, so that's why.
That's right. Yeah.
Does it make sense then to transfer this as part of this budget now?
Senator, so that's a good question. This certainly would be assuming that the bill doesn't pass otherwise. At least by the 2103 biennium, the program would need an infusion of general funds.
I gather that maybe some money could come out, but I don't know. The governor had $12 million out, but that probably also did not assume the passage of this bill. Is this a bill which you guys introduced? Whose bill is this? Whose bill is this, do you know?
I signed on it. I think Representative Witt was the one that first...
not a bad idea.
Take ownership of it, but I think I'm one of the co-sponsors.
I think you're looking at a major revision because of the length of the time that we could be infusing money into a disability bill. And you're probably looking at a long-term serial obligation as opposed to single time infusion into the process should that bill pass. Like I say, it may not be a bad idea, but it may require, in addition to $300,000 of administration to get it up and running, it may take many, many years of obligation to get it properly funded before it starts to turn around. So And I'd like to see, as we've talked about, the possibility of some limitations on at least not just income, but on assets as well, which makes it a little more difficult.
We don't have the power to do that.
No, we don't.
On what the bill,
how it comes to us. That's right. One
way that might help fix it when it gets to the Senate. You might be able to do something in terms of a hybrid. Apply it to disabled, but maybe put an age limit, but it only apply to disabled over the age of 50. which could cut that time span.
Yeah, if you did what that gives you another 15 years above your current senior deferral. I think current senior deferral is 65, isn't it? 58. So that would give you an extra 8 years over your current deferral.
Yeah. But it might be a little more manageable in terms of figuring the...
I was just going by what I read.
I think you're looking at this. That's
62.
It might be easier to do the actuarial stuff if you were looking at a 12-year increase rather than if you were looking at possibly a very young person who's disabled at age 28.
Yeah, that would certainly make it more palatable so far as your ability to fund it over a period of time. But that's not, as I understand, that's probably something that we won't do at this particular time because there's probably some amendments that will be made as it went through.
I would presume that if that bill passed the House and it came then to Ways and Means, that's where it was referred and probably would be before it went to the Senate, wouldn't it? That so we'd have a subcommittee.
It could. Yeah. It could possibly do.
Sure. I, when I signed on to it, I just kind of got swept up on the tax fairness issue, similar to the intangibles and the timber value.
Oh, you signed on to that intangible issue?
Okay. You can continue on then.
Sure. If you turn back to the memo, all of this that I've been talking about has a net effect on the bill that you're considering, the 50x41. And what I've got down there in the box under LFO recommendations are amendments to the bill. And the first section has to do with general fund, not including the $1 general fund appropriation for the senior program or the appropriation for the elderly rental assistance program. And I've got there to delete the original amount of the bill and then insert another amount which doesn't include the latest revenue generating package. So if you'll cross that out and put $93,294,967, that would be the updated legislative fiscal office recommendation for that section of the bill.
Does that include the $5 million that will be transferred over on the 2139? Is that included in there?
Mr. Chair, it doesn't, but I do have that down here, a note to myself to talk about that when they get these recommendations.
All right, I'm sorry.
So I will cover that for you.
Okay.
The second amendment would be to Section 2, which covers the elderly rental assistance program, and that would be to delete the $9.7 million and insert $9 million, and then insert language to appropriate the $750,000 as a special purpose appropriation in the emergency fund for this program. And Sections 3 and 4 do not need any amendments. Section 5 deals with other funds expenditure limitations for the department, and I'm recommending that you delete the original amount and then insert an updated amount given the additional revenue generating package that you heard about today. So that amount would be $12,586,180. Then I'm recommending that you insert into the bill a new section that requires the transfer of the excess reserves of $17 million in the Senior Citizens Property Tax Deferral Program to the General Fund.
Excuse me, back from the previous one, that amount again?
$12,586,180. It's different, Representative Warren, because I had not added in the third revenue-generating package that you heard about today. So it makes it better fitted, and that makes it an adjustment for now.
So does it make sense to take the $17 million of the excess reserves at this point when we have this bill? It's going to cost a lot of money. That's still floating around.
Senator Trowe, again, that is a good question. One of the things that the subcommittee could do is make the transfer contingent on that bill not passing.
If it did pass, couldn't we still take some money that I understand? In other words, should it be contingent upon that passing, and then if it does pass, have some other number?
Right. You've got a lower number. At this point, because there's some difference of opinion between the department, department estimate of the impact of 2901, and then the Legislative Revenue Office's impact. I can't give you an amount, and if you want to take a conservative viewpoint, then I would take the department's estimate, which is higher than
the Department of Revenue.
Yes, Department of Revenue estimates $8.8 million with an impact in 1901. Jim, have you talked with the Revenue Office to try to work out what the differences are? I'm assuming it has to do with the number of eligible people plus what the average property taxes paid are in those accounts.
We have, actually, Brian Reeder is our acting research supervisor right now, and he is meeting with the staff from the Legislative Revenue Office to try and sort out what are the elements to make up and see if they can come to an agreement on the number.
Could we ensure that we would reduce the transfer to $8.2 million if the bill passed and $17 million if it did not? From 17 million.
You could, Representative Leonard. I would caution you that the $12 million transfer within the governor's original budget was used to balance the budget. So if you reduce it below that $12 million, then you have a hold. Could reduce it to the original 12 if the bill passes, but then understanding that any drain on the reserve will certainly take it below the $10 million if the department believes it's prudent as a result.
What about reducing it $12 million now and then possible $5 million more depending on whether or not the bill passes?
Doesn't pass on another 5 months. But I'll be certain that the amounts that we're talking about relative to the bill are in order. That's with the bill in its present form. I'm hesitant to turn down and modify that at this particular point until we know what the parameters might be age-wise and then bringing the estimates of the Department of Revenue online with the Department of Legislative Fiscal Office. So I think rather than massage the numbers twice, I would just soon come back once we're in agreement, if assuming that it does pass in whatever form, and that we do it just one time rather than trying to contemplate bits and pieces of it. That would be my preference.
Why don't we leave it alone at $17 million, but put something in the narrative about the gap and that may necessitate revisiting the issue.
That's the narrative relative to House Bill 2901, as to whether the point of eventually passes both the House and Senate.
You don't like to create kind of alternatives, but now when I think of that bill, if it comes to the Senate, I'm going to think, $17 million for schools, or do I want that bill?
Representative Hanson.
If we're still in session past November, wouldn't that cut it in half? Because
a reasonable payroll.
So there's lots of different modifications that may occur in the building before it gets there. Before we have to deal with the
program. I'll just put a deferral on that topic. If we're in after November, we will have to.
Okay, further recommendations.
Next recommendation, just to remind you that I would recommend that the package of the governor's revised budget, that second revenue-generating package, that those positions be made limited duration. And then with the third package as well, I would recommend that those positions be made limited duration. So you would have a total of 19 positions that you were making limited duration and 18 full-time equivalents. And then, again, I'm recommending the special purpose appropriations in the emergency fund for the telefile for $255,000 general fund, and then the package 330, which is the package in the information processing division, and that's $1,670,896 general fund. So that's where that $1,925,896 in general fund comes from in that recommendation. And then to require the department to report back to the emergency board with a report on the impact of this technology on staffing needs before the funds are allocated to the department.
That's the 255 plus whatever the number I gave you, pardon.
$1,678,896. We wouldn't make any reservation, obviously, for appropriation for other funds. They would just ask if the emergency board
Okay.
And then finally, adopt the budget note directing the department to work with other state agencies that have mapping systems to identify and eliminate duplication of work, and also to work with counties to determine what additional mapping and GIS services can be provided to those counties to promote uniformity at hopefully lower costs to counties. And then finally, I'll distribute a copy of this for you. We have a dash one amendment to this bill for $5 million. It's been proposed in these amendments to add an exception to the bill, and you can see there that would appropriate an additional $5 million to the department out of the general fund for making grant payments to counties for the assessment and taxation program.
Sure.
Who generated that?
I'm sorry.
Who generated this? That came out of House Bill 2139, which was that from.
I don't remember the discussion of this. Did we spend some time on this?
This was presented over the weekend, and we just have received this. I just received it. I didn't get my copy in this form until just now.
When did you receive it?
This is from the Association of Oregon Counties in conjunction with House Bill 2139. This is a replacement in part of the funds that are going away with the, help me, the old assessment on each document that's recorded, and this is the $10. that comes back to the counties for each document that's recorded, is what it is. And they ask to come through the Department of Revenue, because the Department of Revenue is where we get the assessment and taxation oversight.
Is it from the governor's budget?
It's in the, it's included in 2139, the House Bill 2139.
You know that, but that's not in the governor's budget.
No, that wouldn't be in the governor's
budget. Where's the bill? Did it pass?
Yes.
It passed. Mm-hmm. Passed both houses?
I don't know where it's passed since yet.
I don't remember we passed in the
So we're assuming it's going to pass. Is that it? Do you remember it on the floor?
Yeah. It's the one that I said it better pass or I'm toast. It's the one that replaces the ones that are presently lost under the passage of a 1989 similar bill that gave a portion of the document recording fees. And we talked about it.
Does it pay for itself? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, it's paid for by recording of documents at the county level.
Wouldn't that normally the bill be referred to Ways and Means from appropriation as opposed to funding a bill that hasn't even been signed into law yet?
It certainly is conditional upon the passage of it. I'm trying to find my notes that I made on it as we went along. But it's 2139, yes. It has the Senate. That's the House.
Senate?
No, it has not passed the Senate. I'm sorry.
Okay.
In the Senate, it had public hearings and work session on 429.
So we're not there.
Yeah.
This was the revenue, then it will come to Ways and Means. This is probably the revenue public hearing and work session.
Four twenty-nine are the hearings on in the Senate.
Do we know whether it's acceptable to the governor?
Mr. Cantine, could you come forward and tell us the status of 2139?
Here, somebody from DAS. Just a second.
Oh, DAS is right here.
Lord, take
a minute for that.
Mr. Chair, I'm Bob Cantine with the Association of Oregon County. As to the question of whether it's acceptable to the governor or not, we don't know. He did not include it in his budget. But I'm not sure that it's not acceptable to him just because he didn't include it. He may have encouraged us to seek it on our own. And if we achieved that, then it would be acceptable to him. But
he did encourage it, or he may have?
Well, it's informal. I guess we'll wait and see when we get there, or we can ask again at this point.
We have $1 included for each document included in our GIS portion within our budget now. So we are anticipating within our other budget document that 2139 will become law.
Do you know anything about 2139, the governor's?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is George Dunford from the Department of Administrative Services Budget and Management Division. I refrain from speaking for the governor, as you can probably imagine. Let me just say that I don't know if he is in favor of this. It's not part of his budget. I will note, though, that the additional $5 million that he transferred from the senior deferral property tax program would not put the budget out of balance.
Unless the other bill passed, which is also moving through 2229 at once. If that passes, and we have to fund that out of that money.
Yes, Mr. Chair, Senator, so that's, I believe you're right.
Talk about the disabled portion.
Yeah, the eligibility.
Right.
So I wonder if we couldn't sort of delay this and, Mr. Chair, and find out from the governor's office whether this is something that they're comfortable with. We've got a budget that's in delicate balance, and a $5 million expenditure here is a lot of money.
I'm just looking to see, because we have included the $1 that comes from 2139 into our GIS, that's contemplated here. Mr. Cantine, this has come through from legislative council. Can you give us some feel at this particular point what the Senate side looks like? I don't necessarily have to speak for the governor, but I'm trying to anticipate whether or not this should be included at this point or not. Given the concern that we've got over 2139 actually passing and actually being acceptable to the governor.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that's always difficult to predict what another body will do that hasn't had the hearing yet. But I think there's been a lot of thought given to the issue. There's been a whole interim study that was done by the Department of Revenue's task force. There needs to be a bill, because if this bill doesn't pass, then we suffer. It would be like cutting your Department of Revenue significantly. So there's about, I guess, $22 million a biennium that is involved with that bill. It has a sunset on it from the previous debates we've had about continuing real estate recording fee and the real estate transfer tax issue. We got that settled. We have the support, I believe, of the real estate industry on this particular bill. It went through the House. So there's a lot of things that I would say go for it, Mr. Chair, that it will pass in some point.
Representative Hanson is recognized.
Mr. Cantin, this $5 million would be funded through the e-document portion of 2139?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hanson, that is not correct. This is the offset for the education portion of interest on delinquent taxes. What happened in the original proposal in the bill assessed 4% of the interest on delinquent taxes from education to go into the fund. Cities and special districts already pay that 4%. We had an inequity that we couldn't get resolved last session. Came back this session with that same provision, had the same difficulty, but this is basically in lieu of their contributing 4% into that fund. And that's what it's
about. Well, that bill has a referral to Ways and Means. It passes through the process.
Mr. Chair, and Representative Trow, no, that one, does, I don't believe, has a referral.
Yes, it does.
Does it have a referral to Ways and Means? I'm trying to think of which piece of it in there would have a, because basically it's a fee bill, but if it does, it does.
And we could then deal with this issue of the $5 million at that point, if it came to us, rather than in the budget. Then we would have some history as to whether or not it's going to make it through the process, and we know where the governor is on it, and some other things.
I don't understand, Mr. Chair, the statement that was made that the funding of this is contingent upon the bill passing. That's not what this says. This looks to me to be in running that the process whereby that bill may be stuck. This does not say contingent upon the passage of anything. This is an outright appropriation to accomplish what would appear to be the same thing that the bill would accomplish.
Chair?
Ms. Cantine.
Representative Leonard, there are two separate parts.
If I could just interrupt for a second, the problem is I think this is a substantive issue. And I don't know how, if others have heard anything about this, I've heard nothing. I'm not even clear what the money is funding.
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, the funding goes into the Assessment and Taxation Fund, which is then grant to local governments.
Okay. I mean, I would have to ask questions like, have we decided whether or not this money in the list of priorities is more important spent here as opposed to higher ed or K-12, and I don't know enough about this to ask that question yet. I mean, we've been handed this and have been told it's contingent upon another bill passing, but I don't read it like that. It reads to me as though it appropriates $5 million to accomplish whatever it is supposed to accomplish.
Is this in fact contingent upon the bill passing, Mr. Campbell?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, the two are definitely linked. You would not want to do this if you didn't do 2139. That would not make sense to me.
Well, then why don't we wait until 2139 gets here and then do this if we don't think it makes sense to do it?
That's an option for the committee, yes.
Representative Hansen is recognized.
As the department's budget has been put together, you mentioned the dollar fee on
the GIS.
The GIS. Now, aren't there also 20-some positions that would be sunsetted if this bill doesn't pass?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hansen, if the substantive bill that you've been discussing on assessment and taxation funding doesn't pass, then there are 29 positions in the department that go away July 1, 2000, halfway through the binding.
So we're already, I guess what I'm asking is, aren't we already addressing 2139 through this budget?
I think the answer is that it is in part. I just visited the Senate fairly early, and I believe that it was in part contemplated in the governor's budget.
Well, why can't we just find out from getting somebody from the governor's office here to tell us?
Mr. Chair and members, the program which is being discussed sunset mid-biennium, and those positions and the associated funds expenditure limitation has been phased out because of that sunset. And in fact, when 2139 comes to Ways and Means, what you'll see is a fiscal that shows you a $1.9 million increase to the department's budget and 29 positions and 14.5 FTE. So that if that bill passes, then the department would need to have their other funds expenditure limitation increased and have the authority for those positions to back in its budget. But as the budget stands now, it assumes the sunset takes effect and the positions, the programs, the funding goes away. There's not in the government.
So that's what's in the budget. They phase out and go away.
Well, do you need them?
Absolutely.
You do?
Okay, so. So those are positions that are, the primary function of those positions is they're doing industrial facilities, they're appraising industrial sites in Oregon that are valued at more than $1 million.
That's what I say. If we didn't, if 2139, that's what I said earlier, if 2139 does not pass, I'm toast because I don't have any of the industrial sites in the state being appraised. And that's a critical importance. And this $5 million is part of that. It isn't part of the industrial site appraisal, but it is part of the A&P overall cost. So, and I recognize it's maybe early to put this in, but we have been given a proposed amendment to the Senate Bill 5541, which is vital to the survival of the department and the assessment taxation, including the GIS portion of it, included as Section 7 of Senate Bill 5541. Now that's being presented to us as an addition. I would I would entertain a motion at this point that Section 7, as presented to us under LC 9541, be presented as part of Senate Bill 5541. Are there objections?
Well, Mr. Chair, I don't think any of us wanted to object. But we'd like time to understand what's going on. And when you present us with something that we really never discussed, at least in any detail, then it's really hard to know what we're doing. And it seems to me like we had several days of long discussion of this budget. We could have spent some time with this issue. We didn't do that. And suddenly, just because a bill is moving through, we have a $5 million appropriation, additional appropriations part of the budget. We could take another day and find out from the governor whether the governor is comfortable with this and do it. So that's sort of my objection. It seems to me like in another instance, we suddenly had decisions to make that we really were not prepared for, just all of a sudden thrown at us, and then the vote is here and you just steamroll it through.
Well, I don't want to steamroll it through without discussion. I just ask if there is objection. Obviously there is objection to it.
There is now. There may not be, because I think the more we know, maybe the more we realize this makes sense. But I'd like to know more yet, and I'd like to hear what the governor thinks about this.
Okay. And do we have a sense, Mr. Cantine, at the Senate, what the overall sense of what may be the feeling at the Senate at this point?
Mr. Chair, we do not, because the hearing isn't until Wednesday.
Okay.
So it's hard for me to say in advance of it.
Well, it's clear that we've got some substantive language that needs to be included. I think this did go past our co-chairs, and they did go ahead and approve, and I hadn't seen this particular draft of it, so they had approved it and asked it to be included, so that's why I wanted to go ahead and at least get it up for discussion at this particular point. And we do have this additional language which has come to us today relative to the encouraging the counties to explore what GIS mapping that we've got. What we'll do is we'll just go ahead and because we do have other budgets up for tomorrow, we'll go ahead and have to delay this. We will have to have the governor's budget later this week, and we won't probably take action on this because it goes through Friday and at our current pace. So in that meantime, Senator Secretary Rowley,
just a couple of questions. I have to indulge you, Mr. Chairman. I guess I'm a little confused. And it's a question that was joked to the issue at hand here with the amendment. Is the question whether or not there was to be a $5 million appropriation to meet the requirements that are specified in the amendment? Chapter 796, Oregon Laws 1989, which requires an appropriation. Is it the amount of the appropriation, or the fact of the appropriation, or the issue that we're giving money to the counties for the A&D?
Issue that nobody knows anything about.
All
I don't understand the program.
We really haven't discussed it until now.
Okay, and I guess the question, Mr. Chairman, to the agency. Wasn't there a $5 million hole in the budget for assessment and taxation that was supposed to be pulled from some source? Wasn't there dollars that were promised to the agency? Isn't there an item in the governor's budget that talks about appropriations for A&D dollars from the general fund or other source?
In the governor's budget, these positions phase out. But in the governor's budget, it assumes that the money is not there.
Mr. Chair, Senator Perry, I think it's a little bit confusing, perhaps, to have the money, as it's described here, is really just a pass-through of the department. None of this, I think, as you can see down in the language, none of this is for Department of Revenue's expenses under this program. It's a general fund appropriation to the department to give to the counties along with the grant funds that they get from the interest increment and from the real estate transfer fee.
For what purpose, please, Mr. Chairman?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Ferrioli, for the assessment and taxation program to operate it, to sustain it, and keep it at a high level, we've also in the discussions with all the parties involved in that legislation, talked about the equity and cost sharing of that program between the public entities, the city, the special districts, the schools, the counties, and who shares the cost of that service, and then also the private sector share of that cost, which is where the fee comes in. In 1989, they set the fee at $10 on particular documents. This bill keeps it at $10, but on a broader set of documents that are recorded to help the private sector also pay a share of that cost. The cities contribute 4% of the interest on delinquent taxes to help share the cost. The special districts contribute that 4%, but the schools do not. And that has been the rub. The schools have never contributed to the cost of something which is 44% of the property tax. And so
this is to help you collect the money for a school?
Right.
Have you ever collected this money before?
This appropriation? No, we've never had.
So this is a brand new appropriation, not replacing any previous one?
That's correct.
So this is a decision that you're asking the legislature to make in the priority of funding schools and everything else. Within that context, you want this $5 million to be appropriated?
Mr. Chair, Representative Leonard, that's correct. And it has to do with the overall funding equity in that program. You have two entities which are now sitting there paying their 4% and the other entity is not. And that should hang this whole program up pretty soon if we can't get some kind of equity in there. And this is a part of getting that.
So I think there's a case for helping counties out to do this. This is a function that largely goes to help the schools, so the assessment process, the property tax revenues, and so forth. But again, for us to act on this right now without knowing more about it and knowing where the governor is and knowing how this $5 million fits into what we need to do, because this is $5 million that could be in the general fund for all the things we need to extend money for, and just say we need to extend money for this. But I don't know that we're convinced of that yet. Maybe we will be. But let's hear from where the governor is on.
Okay, could we go down then through the, with the exception of the Amendment Section 7, for the items that Legislative Fiscal has asked us to approve, relative to the legislative fiscal recommendations up to and including the budget note directing the Department of Work with the state agencies with the mapping systems to identify, eliminate duplication of work and the work with counties to determine what additional mapping and geographic information systems, GIS services can be provided to those counties to promote uniformity and lower costs in the county.
Do you want a motion to move LFO's recommendations on this bill?
LFO's recommendations on this bill.
And then we would have to come back.
Have to come back relative to this.
Moving the bill though. So we
just a motion to approve LFO's recommendations.
No,
so we don't have to revisit them.
I would move the Senate Bill 5541 be amended to reflect Legislative Fiscal Office recommendations for the April 26, 1999 document memorandum.
And we understand that it does not include
the dash one amendment.
And Mr. Chairman, I guess I had a question for our administrative staff on that of timing. This issue needs to be closed upon during this week's work so that it can move forward in our Friday regular sessions of the Ways and Means. Is that correct?
So, Mr. Chair, Senator Perrelli, that would be ideal, but it doesn't have to meet that timeline.
We've got, at this particular point, then, we have the motion to go ahead and move Legislative Fiscal Office recommendations up through the current date, with the exception of the Amendment Section 7. Are there any objections to that?
What's the understanding about the $17 million, that it does have some relationship to whether or not 2901 passes and there'll be language or something?
Yes.
Clarify that.
Okay. We've got that language as well.
Chair. Representatives naturally recognized.
That's a question on procedure then. How do you amend into a bill that's already been passed?
We haven't passed the bill.
We wouldn't pass the bill. You're just adopting.
Adopting the legislative recommendations.
The
proposed recommendations. Up to this point, and then I personally believe that we've got that the co-chairs have set aside the $5 million from the House bill. To go ahead and be passed through at this particular point, but let me confirm that, and when I confirm that, then we can come back and add Section 7 at a later time if it's acceptable. Are there any objections to the motion of Representative Leonard? There being none, we'll go ahead and order LFO's recommendation and come back at a later time to bring discussion on Section 7. Senator Crowe, could you kind of get some sense, perhaps even maybe work with the county to see what the governor's sense may be with regard to? I
think we ought to just have the staff call the governor's office and ask if there's somebody here to tell us.
Okay.
Okay, well, that's good.
Somebody to kind of share the one that takes the to do this. Is that something that we can accomplish by tomorrow morning, do you think, as we come down from the governor's office? Okay. Let's go ahead then, and we will leave we'll not close the session on Senate Bill 5541, but we'll hold 5541 open until tomorrow morning and public comment, public and work session. Tomorrow afternoon, right, 1 o'clock, even hour. Thank you very much.